for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 608 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is the return of Joel Rodriguez from Metal Ninja Studios. He has a Kickstarter for Dust County Chronicles Nightfall number 1-3, The Final Nightmare, that concludes on Saturday, October 7 at 9 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It's described this way. It's the thrilling 32-page comic conclusion of Lori, Susan, and Lacey's horrific journey through the dangerous towns of Dust County. We talk about who the various characters are, how the series came to be, and what we can expect from this creative and supportive team in the future. Be sure to support this scary comic as soon as you finish listening to our fun conversation. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. Metal Ninja Studios presents the Dust County Chronicles Nightfall number 3, the thrilling 32-page conclusion of a 3-issue horror adventure comic miniseries described as The Avengers of Horror meets Cabin in the Woods. And I'm talking right now with the writer and I think overall creator of this, if you want to say that, from the Dust County Chronicles, and that's Joel Rodriguez. How you doing, Joel?
Hey, Wayne, I'm doing good. I'm happy to be back. It's been a while, so I'm really looking forward to talking Dust County with you again.
Yeah, that's kind of fun, because back in the, when we were really talking about it way back a couple of years ago, you only had out, as I remember, or were on the verge of putting out the 3-issue story, but you had all these little mini stories that were in some of the books. And they had to do with a certain mouse house, not terribly far from where we live. And I always wondered, did the mouse house ever go after you for that?
No, the mouse house doesn't care about me. Not at all.
You don't make enough money.
Nope. And if anything, now that Nightfall is out, they kind of have less ground to stand on, because the whole purpose of Nightfall as a series is it takes different characters from all of the short stories, including the one I was particularly worried about, and brings them all together to make it into a Dust County narrative as opposed to the horror parody that the series really started as.
Mm-hmm. Because I got a kick out of those. Always worried that certain folks, because certain people, certain attorneys make their living off of this kind of stuff. And I've seen certain stories where people have been running like kids centers and stuff like that. And they've actually, without permission, painted certain characters on their walls. And the lawyers with their black suits and black cases came in and said, you will take them off the wall, and you will take them off the wall now. So I always worry when people go anywhere in that area. So I'm glad to hear that things are good, that you're not on their radar at all. Let's not get you on that radar.
I think one of the things that kept me safe is I wasn't directly referencing. Everything was inspired by in the form of horror parody. So there were some inspirations taken from different elements, like Toy Story, for example. My pitch for the first issue of the Dust County started with, what if Toy Story was a slasher? And it's got characters that are vaguely representative, like there's a cowboy, an astronaut, and a teddy bear. Mm-hmm. But they're not specific. Oh, here's Woody. Like, they're still characters. Mm-hmm. And that fact is reinforced with how everything is brought back in Nightfall, the series.
Okay, now I'm looking through the levels. Can you buy those original issues as part of this Kickstarter?
Yeah, we have two different catch-up tiers. There's a digital catch-up tier and then a physical catch-up tier. And then there are a bunch of add-on options as well.
Okay, that's good. That's all kinds of good stuff going on with that. So that's good. So it doesn't sound like the pandemic put you down very much, because you've done 3 issues in the last couple of years. While that was, did you actually find that you had a little more time to work on your comics as a result of that, or what?
My comics, no. Other people's comics, yes, actually. There's been quite a few developments since the last time we talked, in particular with Metal Ninja Studios, my production company. To answer your question as to my own comics and my timeline, it was actually a lot slower than I would have liked. January of next year is the 5-year anniversary of me starting my company.
Oh, congrats. And
thank you. And I was not expecting Nightfall to take 5 years for me to put out, or 4 years. But the pandemic kind of slowed me down, because I did the first 2 Dust County issues, and then I released Nightfall number 1. But before I could go on the convention circuit for that first Nightfall issue, the pandemic happened. Everything got shut down. And then after that, it was basically 1 to 2 years in between each Dust County issue, which a big part of that was my mental state at the time. Another part was my workload, because I ended up, during the pandemic, I ended up leaving my day job and starting my work in comics full time. And since then, I've been working full time for going on 2.5 to 3 years. And I've since, in the past year and a half, expanded my studio to a full service production studio, where I'm managing a team of creatives, helping other people put their books together, working with both independent creators and publishers. So there's been a lot of exponential growth on the business side of things, which also led to some of the delays with Dust County, because I used to tell this, joke in passing about how the professional letterer didn't have time to letter his own book because he was too busy lettering everyone else's. Yep. And there was an unfortunate truth behind it, but I'm happy that I'm finally putting this last issue out and I can finally bring it into the world and conclude the story I've been working on for the past 30 years.
So how long has the Dust County Chronicles, the Nightfall part of it, been going around in your head? I mean, how many years have you been working on this story?
So I started working on the Dust County Chronicles probably the middle of 2018. And it started with that first short story that we had already talked about, the What If Toy Story Was a Slasher parody. And I wrote that as a submission to an anthology that I found locally just at one of the conventions. I submitted and they turned it down. They said, it's not for us. And I had to decide what I was going to do with that 4-page short story. I was either going to sit on it or I was going to do something. And I knew I wanted to get into comics somehow. And at the time, I wanted a career as a writer. So I decided I'd keep writing it. And after that first short story, the idea of Dust County just kind of came together of, okay, I'm going to make this anthology where it's a bunch of different short stories, but they all take place in the same geographic location. So while I may not have necessarily had the idea for Nightfall in the beginning, I knew I wanted to immediately start laying the groundwork so that I could bring everything together in some way.
Cool. Because now I always forget this because I got involved in the actual talking about the thing, but they want me to say this as soon as I can. The project will be funded if it reaches its goal by Saturday, October 7 at 9 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. People get mad at me because I don't say that soon enough. But anyway, it's under Dust County Chronicles Nightfall number 1 to 3, The Final Nightmare. So in case somebody wants to look for it.
Yep. An easy way to get to it is metalninjastudios.com/Kickstarter.
Okay. It goes directly there. Okay. So I'm kind of curious, before we dive headlong into Nightfall, are you doing things largely for indie creators at Metal Ninja Studios? Are you doing work for some of the bigger companies? What kind of work are you guys doing?
So Metal Ninja Studios is a full service production studio where we help creators take their stories from concept to comic. And we have a team of writers, editors, letterers, production designers, and basically everything that it takes to make a comic, with the exception of art. With art being so subjective and tied to the story, I didn't feel like it would be right to bring on staff artists, because we would then essentially be selling our own artists instead of finding artists that work with the story. So what we do in that regard is we do a service called art facilitation, where we work with creators to find, we find the artist based off of a roster of vetted artists that we've worked with previously, and then we present them to our clients. The clients get to choose whoever they want to work with based off of a variety of factors, and then we manage the project. So basically with our service, people can come to us for lettering and things like that. But if they take the full concept to comic service that we offer, a writer can actually be a writer, because they don't have to worry about the project management. That's what we do. So we do a lot of work for independent creators, and we also do a lot of work for Merc Publishing and their related companies. We do virtually everything for Merc and have for years.
Cool. Okay, because we'll wrap this up by saying, if somebody wants to get a hold of you to find out more about Metal Ninja Studios, how do they do that?
Yeah, the best way is metalninjastudios.com. We currently have a freeze on our onboarding, so we're not accepting new clients at this time. But what I do, even when we're not accepting clients, is I do free 45-minute consultations, to where people can sign up for a consultation, and it's a 45-minute Zoom call with me, to where we can talk about anything. One of the big things that I'm passionate about is providing free education to people looking to get into comics, because this is a very difficult industry to get into, even on the educational level. So we recently started a program called the Metal Ninja Dojo, where we do blog posts and video content to provide free education. And these consultations are another part of that, where anyone, if they're whether they're interested in working with us or just want to know something about comics, they can go to metalninjastudios.com, sign up for a consultation, and then they have 45 minutes to ask me whatever they want. And the best part, or the best time to actually do that, is during a freeze like this, because it's not going to end in a pitch. We're not trying to bring on new clients, so it's just me trying to do what I can to provide as much information as I can to whoever needs it.
Okay, very cool. So, and they do that by emailing you? Is that what I got? Or how did they do that?
No, if you go to metalninjastudios.com, there's a little link that says book a consultation, and then you click that, and it'll take you to the page.
Okay. All right. It's easier than all that, so that's good. All right. Let's dive into the Dust County Chronicles Nightfall, and it says on the Kickstarter page, it follows two survivors from the original short stories as they brave the secrets of Dust County in search of their missing loved ones. There's another paragraph. Let me read this real quick, and then we'll dive into more of it. It says, previously through their investigation, Lori and Susan found themselves trapped below ground and at the mercy of Draven, the vampiric leader of Dust County's nightmares. Outnumbered, disarmed, and seemingly betrayed, all hopes seemed lost until an unlikely ally provided an opportunity for escape. So, fill in a little bit of the gaps, if you would, so people know what the story is about.
Yeah, so the Dust County Chronicles, as we've mentioned, started as a horror anthology series that took tales that you know and love and throws a horror twist on it. Another one on top of the Toy Story line is, what if Peter Pan required a sacrifice to enter Neverland? And with each of these short stories, they all take place in the same geographic location, although they're all self-contained and they all feature a different cast of characters. Well, after the first two issues of the Dust County, we started Nightfall, which is the series that we're wrapping up with this issue. And that follows the sister of one of the characters that goes missing in the first issue, or the first issue of Dust County, and it follows the mother of another character. And basically, these two women are trying to find their sister and their daughter, and through a series of events, they end up finding each other, teaming up and chasing down leads to try and find what happened. It seems like more is going on than they originally thought, because they go to the police and the police, for some reason, aren't as helpful as one would expect. And then they decide they have to take matters into their own hands. One thing leads to another, and then they end up finding themselves in the middle of an underground bunker, for lack of a better term, where they learn the truth behind Dust County, and that the entire county has been secretly overrun by virtually every monster that you can think of. And there's one vampire in charge of it all, and his name is Draven. And Draven is the mastermind behind Dust County. So then it very quickly shifts from a mystery investigatory story and becomes a fight for survival as they try and get out of the bunker and get out of Dust County before every single monster in existence chases them down and makes sure they can never leave.
I always forget, is Dust County in Florida, or is it not described exactly where it is?
It's not described exactly where it is, but it's rural. I actually kind of envisioned it more in like a North South Carolina area.
Okay, that's good. It says in here that they end up in a toy store. Is that the place where they're in? You said that they're in kind of a bunker. Is that what the bunker is the toy store?
No, the bunker actually happens a bit earlier in the issue. Okay. The bunker is the end of issue number one. And then through a series of events, they get out of the bunker. They go on the run and they find some shelter in a toy store in Dust County. Actually in Nocturne City, which is the main central city in the center of Dust County. Mm-hmm. And they stumble upon this closed toy store and they go in to try and find some shelter. And the owner of the store is very quick to provide help because they run in, they say, quick, we're being chased by something. They're trying to kill us. We need help. And he says, sure, no problem, no problem. But anyone who reads the first issue or the second issue, excuse me, of the Dust County Chronicles knows that there is a very dark story that happens within a toy store in downtown Nocturne City. So although they wind up going there for shelter, shelter is not what they find.
Okay. It wouldn't be a horror story if it was, everybody provided safety for them.
Correct.
Last time I talked with you, I think you said the same thing. It's a little disturbing, the kinds of things that your imagination comes up with sometimes to me. I don't know anybody who watches Toy Story and thinks, this could be a horror story. I don't know anybody who could do that. But that's what makes your stuff kind of different from everybody else's things. So that's kind of cool. So number three is a 32-page full-color standard-size American formatted comic printed on high-quality paper. It'll be a saddle stitch package. Let's see. Oh, well, you got some interesting names involved. Joe Schmalke from 7 Years in Darkness, Francesca Fantini from Stake, and Chris Madd from No Heroin. Kind of involved with that. Did they get involved with you through other projects, and that's how they got involved with the Nightfall?
Pretty much all of them except for Chris Madd. Chris Madd was one of the original cover artists for Dust County number 2 in the original series, and I've always loved his work, so I wanted to bring him back for this one. I'm actually the letterer for 7 Years in Darkness, so I've worked with Joe for years, And then I work with Francesco Fantini on Stake, where she's the artist and I'm the letterer.
Okay. I don't want to get into spoiling because I got a chance to read through the issues. And I the last thing I'm going to do in a horror story is give away something. So I'm trying not to give away things because there's – sometimes, especially when it comes to horror, you want to be real careful about that. So I'm trying to be really careful. So we'll kind of go around the story a little bit. But I do want to say when I read the – a good horror story – never wraps everything up. And this is a good horror story. Yes. Shall we say? Because let's just say that, as you've said, you could always go back to Dust County if you would like to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing.
I wanted to leave the doors open. And I actually had a conversation not too long ago with a couple of people. And while I had never been able to put it really into words, they put it into the words that I could never quite figure out. Ironic, since I'm the writer. But they said that one of the main things that they liked about Dust County is that the Dust County itself was a character. Hmm. Whereas I always drew inspiration from Stephen King. He's probably my favorite horror author. And like Derry Maine is a character that recurs in a bunch of his stories. Everything ties back to Derry. And when I started working on the Dust County Chronicles and the concept of Dust County, I wanted to do something similar. And it became to where Dust County, in essence, is a character. And while the individual stories follow the people living in Dust County, the main character is actually the county itself. So when I wrap this up, I wanted to make it to where the stories of these particular people may be over, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the stories of the main character being Dust County are over.
Okay. Something to keep in mind. Now, there's a couple of things about the Kickstarter that I'm always interested in. I always get a kick off. At the highest levels, backers will even have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be drawn into their own variant cover by series veteran Roman, how do you pronounce that, Gubsky?
Gubsky, yep.
Gubsky, okay. It's exclusive and extremely limited tier. Will immortalize you in Dust County history with your exclusive cover featuring original art, trade dress, and virgin and metal variants that only you will own. How much does that cost to get that done? I'm just curious.
It really depends. There are quite a few different. Are you talking about the cost for me or the price for the customer?
Price for the customer.
Price for the customer. That is $1,100 for the full bundle. And with that full bundle, it is you get drawn into the cover and you get the original art for that cover. And Roman actually lives in France right now. So your original art is coming from France. And then you get 5 copies of your cover in trade dress, 5 copies of it virgin with no trade dress, 2 copies of it metal, and then every other cover that we're offering on the campaign for this issue. So you kind of get like a collection of everything bundle, but you get a once in a lifetime collection that includes you actually on the cover. And one of the unique things about it is that it's a true one of one experience because we're only printing what you get and what that particular customer orders. They have an opportunity to order more copies if they want, but we're not keeping any, we're not printing any extra. It is only their exclusive cover.
Cool. Because, you know, some places will offer to have you drawn in as a character into the comic. There was one that because I'd always wanted that. And there was a book about a zombie Moby Dick that I was interested in. And the price was right. I could actually afford to get drawn in there. And so when the book came around, I looked at it. I couldn't find myself in there because, you know, zombie Moby Dick is being followed by a ship of zombies from that same era. And of course, when I got drawn in there, they saw wear glasses. They took the glasses off me, and I couldn't recognize myself. And the guy who did it pointed out where I was. And, oh, there I am. Okay, I get it now.
Oh, wow.
So I'm in there. I'm in the book, but I didn't realize that was me because I didn't. They took my glasses off of me. So, but the good news is I'm in a comic. I'm a character in a comic someplace, which I always wanted. And, normally, it's hundreds of dollars to get into this. This guy actually made it in a reasonable price range for me, and so I jumped on it, and I was one of the ones in there. I think we all were drawn in that. So I just got a huge kick out of getting that in, to actually be in a comic for once. So it's really cool. But yeah, that's cool.
That's awesome. That's actually one thing that we've offered on, I think, every Dust County campaign. And it's been really popular. I think with every issue, we've had fans drawn in, and we were trying to figure out what we were going to do for this one, because whenever we go to Kickstarter, it's our philosophy that the book is as close to done as possible. And aside from the second issue of Nightfall, the books have been completely done. Nightfall number 2, there were a bit of delays there I mentioned earlier with the lettering, but this issue and every issue before has been fully completed before we brought it to Kickstarter. And with that, we can't draw people in that issue. So what we always do is you get drawn into the next issue. Mm-hmm. And people have taken that. People have really liked it. Well, with this being the final issue, we kind of can't have you drawn into the next issue because the next Dust County issue could be many years from now. We don't know. So instead, while we're brainstorming, we came up with the idea of doing the cover and taking something that's unique in being drawn into a comic and basically making it once in a lifetime in something that I don't think I've seen anyone do before, in giving someone their own exclusive.
Hmm. Very cool. Very cool about that. Now, another thing that I noticed that you guys do, you've got 9 metal covers involved in that. I think metals are getting to be a big thing. I was talking with somebody, they actually made a glass cover.
Yeah, they're getting fancy with covers now.
But you don't have a glass cover, though. You're just sticking the metals right now.
I don't do good with fragile things, so I do not trust myself to fulfill a glass cover.
Yeah, you'd probably have to physically hand give it to somebody is what I would do. But
yeah,
I've seen them. My gosh, it's an amazing thing. I mean, I never dreamed that actually anybody would ever do a glass cover, but terrifies me to think if I actually had one, I'd for sure drop it. So I don't dare think about that. But
I think it was just yesterday I had a ceramic mug break. So I think that's a sign that I should not be anywhere near a glass cover.
But how about the metals? I mean, is it the metal version of a regular cover? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. So with the last issue of the Dust County Chronicles Nightfall, so Nightfall number 2, we did a Joel's Favorite Covers collection of medals to where we picked one cover from every issue and did a metal version of it. And that was kind of our big new thing for that campaign. So that was where our first 4 came from, Dust County 1 and 2, and then Nightfall 1 and 2. Well, with this one, we have 5 different variant covers, including our Kickstarter exclusive cover. We have our primary cover and then 3 variant cover artists that we talked about earlier. And then Roman actually drew a second cover, and that's our Kickstarter exclusive. That one is only going to be available via Kickstarter or Metal Ninja Studios Kickstarters going forward, with the exception of the metal for that exclusive cover. That exclusive metal is only available via this campaign. With all of those variants, we did metals. So in total, there are 4 or 9. There's 4 for the previous issues, and then 5, including 1 campaign exclusive for this issue.
Okay, very cool. I think metals are still really, really popular. So that's a good move to do that.
They're really cool, and I can't break it, so I like it.
Oh, of course, now, since last time I talked, you had a new addition to your house.
Yes.
So when you have a child, that's another reason not to have a glass cover in the rear around. So that
is very true. And he's almost three, so he's definitely getting into the I like breaking stuff stage. So
is your house like everything that's breakable is up high?
Oh yeah, okay.
That's how you tell when you walk into a house. If you can tell there's a child there, because all the breakables are way up towards the ceiling, and not anywhere where the child could reach them. So that's the way to do it. So that's very cool. So, wow, 3 years old already. Wow.
Yeah.
Are you bringing him up, Brian? Is he learning comics and stuff?
Oh, of course. I mean, that's one of the cool things about working from home is every day is bring your kid to work day. So every day he gets to see what I do in making comics. So
does he read comics too? Or?
Not yet. He's still in board books and all of that, but we've got a couple comics and he loves Spider-Man. So we're starting him off right.
All right, sounds good. Let's talk a little bit about bundles. I noticed that there's several bundles in your levels. Let me see if I found a couple raft quickly. After Massacre Metal Set, I got a cute. That's funny. Memories Metal Set, and then there's a bundle, Virgin Variant Bundle, and then there's the Trade Dress and Virgin Variant Bundle, and Nightfall 03 metal bundle. So all kinds of good bundles going on. Are they really popular? Because I haven't seen a lot of bundles, but I hear people use that terminology a lot. Does that go well for you?
Yeah. We've had quite a few people buy them. Basically, it makes it easy for the collectors of a certain type of cover to get everything that they want. What we wanted to do with this campaign is make it as easy as possible for people to get what they wanted. So people who are a fan of a particular cover can get everything available for that cover relatively easily. But if everyone wants all of the covers, but they don't necessarily need a Virgin or a Metal, well, there's a bundle for that and they can get that. Same if someone likes seeing all of the artwork without the logos and everything on it, they can get the Virgin bundle. And then above that, they start getting into the more collector's market where it's the fans who want a little bit of everything. And that's when we start getting into the trade and Virgin bundles, the Metal bundles, the catch-up bundles. And then at the higher levels, you can even get everything on the campaign. And we even have completionist bundles for people who are just now discovering Dust County to where they can get every available cover from all of the entire series. So while this is a third issue and we haven't necessarily seen a lot of movement on the completionist aspect of it, because a lot of our fans are returning fans. But the individual bundles, whether it's the trade bundle, the Virgin bundle, the Metal bundles, those have all been doing very well.
Very good. Very good. Now I've got to ask, because sometimes when I talk to artists, I always ask them, do they do everything on the computer or do they still do things like on paper? Because the reason I ask that is artists can often make lots of money by selling the paper versions of their artwork. Is the artwork on Nightfall, is that all computer?
So all of the interior art is done traditionally, and I actually own all of it. So that I'm holding on to. But Joseph Schmalke's cover, Bloodlust, the original artwork was available, but someone snatched it up yesterday.
Cool. Very cool. Well, yes. That's good to see, because whenever I talk to an artist, I always ask them, are you only using computer or are you using paper? Because I always tell them, use paper whenever you can, because you can make a little extra dough by selling the original artwork that way.
Yep.
You can print to your heart's content, versions, but nobody cares.
And there's another cover that I have the original artwork for, and that's Chris Madd's Massacre cover. But that one I'm not selling because he surprised me with it in the original concept stages. And he came up with the idea to have my wife and I get killed on the front cover.
Oh, boy.
So, if you actually look at the massacre cover, there are two people who are being held by the monsters, and those two people are me and my wife. So I thought that was just awesome and decided that I couldn't sell the cover.
Okay. I don't know if I want to go that far. That's a little much.
I'm the creepy horror guy, remember?
That's true. That's true. You probably like those good things. I can't. I'm kind of interested. Some of the folks that are giving reviews are people that have been on the podcast. Jonathan Hedrick from Dream Master. He says, Dusk Comedy Chronicles is the type of story that'll make your skin crawl with every turn of the page, he says. And then there's also Travis Gibb. He says, Joel Rodriguez delivers on his promise for an earth-shattering ending that leaves you wanting more Dusk County tales. So those are good ones. Those are the other ones. I'm not sure I've talked to any of the other ones, but it's got some good things. J.M. Brandt from Swamp Dog says, Nightfall was fun and intriguing. I'm drawn to wanting to know more and know what it is that's going to happen to Dusk County. So, obviously, getting people involved and getting their interest piqued in that. So, you're saying that this is very likely for the moment going to be what we know as far as Dusk County goes.
Yeah, this is the start of a hiatus for the series. I have another series that I've been wanting to put out for years, but I didn't want to have two series going simultaneously. So I wanted to wrap up Dusk County and then move on to this other series, which now I'm going to start doing. And then after that, who knows? Of course, I've got a bunch of stuff going on with the studio and our publishing efforts in that regards, Kickstarter publishing that we're going to be unveiling next year. But in terms of my own personal projects, I have this side project that's going to be coming out, and then eventually Dusk County will likely come back. I just can't guarantee when.
Okay. All right. I'm just sort of curious as far as inspiration and things like that go. Obviously, like I said, you watched Toy Story and saw something different than I did. I'm just sort of curious as to where inspiration comes from. Do you get, especially now that you've got a child and stuff, you're going to probably be watching more family, quote unquote, stuff. Is that going to be more inspiration for horror stories for you?
Probably. I'm very good at taking things and finding the dark side of them. But really, one of the fun things about Dusk County just in general is they're actually kind of mashup stories, to where I find a because they say that really nothing is ever original, because we're basically drawing off of our own experiences and what we've read and experienced through media. So following that, I kind of leaned into it a little bit in the original Dusk County, and I found a kid's story that I really liked from my childhood growing up, something that meant a lot to me. And then I kind of racked my brain, and virtually every Dusk County story has a hidden mashup with a horror movie or horror story of some kind that kind of bleeds in together, to where I take these two things and make something completely unique out of them.
Interesting. That's kind of cool. Now, I do have a question, because I was looking at this. It says that the company is Ringo Award nominated.
Yes.
What did you guys do that was nominated for a Ringo?
Steak, which was done by David Byrne. He's the writer of Steak and the publisher for Metal Ninja Studios. And then I'm the letterer and production designer for Steak. And that was nominated in 2022 for Best Presentation and Design.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice, because it's nice to be recognized by your peers.
Yeah, for yeah. Sure. It was a surreal experience. It was super fun, and unfortunately, I didn't get to go back this year, but here's to hoping for next year.
Okay, very good. I don't imagine you can talk about projects you're working on from Dust County Chronicles. Do you get credits, like on the credits page and stuff like that for design and things?
For Dust County?
As far as like, the Metal Ninja. As far as Metal Ninja stuff goes, I mean, do you get, because sometimes companies will do it and they, because like I, as an editor myself, many times I'll edit something and my name never appears on the thing. And I'm always wondering,
gotcha.
Because your company and stuff like that, you probably would be nice for people to know what it is you're doing for the comics so that they might come to you. Do they give you credit oftentimes when you do that?
So it's very important to me that the people who do the work get the credit. And what we do is if multiple people work on a project, if it's just one person, say someone hires us for a lettering job and one of my team does the lettering, that person will get credit as, say, for example, Christian Dokolomansky. He is our senior designer. If he letters it, he will be credited as Christian Dokolomansky of Metal Ninja Studios. But if multiple people from my team work on a project, whether it's a full service project where we're taking it from concept to comic, or lettering and production, there are a wide variety of options. But if multiple people are working on it, then we basically add a little section to avoid saying the company name 50 times, because Joel Rodriguez of Metal Ninja Studios, Christian Dokolomansky of Metal Ninja Studios, David Byrne of, it gets very redundant. Mm-hmm. So what we do is at the bottom of the credits list, we do with help from Metal Ninja Studios, and then we list the team and the roles that they did. So that way everyone gets recognition, because I feel that is very important in this industry. And then on top of that, there is the acknowledgement that it was the studio that provided everything.
Very good. Very good. Now, one other thing I should mention too, is that there's, according to the Kickstarter page, you have accomplished 60 backers, and I'm sure by the time this posts, by the way, you'll have gotten your goal. So congrats for that, I'm sure. But there's a 60 backers thing called a milestone free for all backers, Mary Shelley's School for Monsters Origins by Jessica Mazon and Anna. I can't make out that name. That's a beautiful name. That's too beautiful for me to say. But that's still available for people, right?
Yeah. So we're doing something a bit different, whereas, the basic premise is used throughout Kickstarter, whereas when you hit certain milestones, for us, it's backer count. When you hit those specific milestones, you unlock a free reward for people. So at 60 backers, we unlocked Jessica Mason's Mary Shelley's School for Monsters. And everyone who backs the campaign is going to get a digital copy of that comic. What we're doing that's unique is we're leveraging the studio and the work that we've done for other creators in the indie community, and we're using this to showcase their skills and their projects. Basically, if we worked on the book, then it's considered, and then we will provide it as one of these backer milestones, and then we'll also provide information on the creator and where to find them and the rest of their work. That way we can use our campaign to showcase the wonderful people that have hired us to help make books for them.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, I'm just sort of curious. You mentioned the business about conventions and stuff, and of course the pandemic just threw all that right up in the air. Are you guys planning to do some more conventions? Maybe not necessarily this year, but maybe next year?
Eventually, I would like to. I wanted to get into MegaCon, but I kind of waited too long, and now I'm on the dreaded wait list.
Oh.
But I would definitely like to start doing conventions again. It's been kind of a rough patch for me in terms of that, with the rapid growth of the studio, but more importantly, because there was the pandemic, and then immediately following the pandemic, I had a newborn, so I couldn't necessarily travel or do anything like that. So now that he's getting a bit older and is a bit more of, for lack of a better phrase, self-sufficient, because how self-sufficient can a three-year-old be? But he is more able to entertain himself and doesn't need as much of the constant supervision. It makes it a little bit easier, except now you got to make sure that he's not breaking things or hurting himself. So it's a give or take. All that is a very long way of saying I really hope that we can start doing conventions next year, and I intend to. Whether or not the time frame actually works and I'm able to make that happen is still yet to be seen.
Okay, well, babies and pets are great stoppers at convention tables. People stop at, oh, how cute, and they'll stop, and that's your chance to promote something when they come by. So that's a good thing to do. But and of course, you know, you realize that is a ready-made support staff right there coming up. All you got to do is train them right, and
yep.
And be able to do that. So all those good things are going to come. So that's good to see.
Pretty much. I already told my wife that he doesn't have an option. He's going to grow up and he's going to be an artist, so I can stop paying for art.
Well, you know, it's funny to me. I look at Alex Ross, who I consider one of the best paint artists I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I look at his early stuff and about equal to mine when I was that age. And I'm always going like, what happened? I mean, where did I go wrong? Because Alex Ross now was painting beautiful stuff, and I couldn't do that to sell anything about that. So I always get a huge kick out of those kinds of things. But you never know. It's always like to say, you know, my son's going to be a basketball player and stuff like that. But you got to trade him up. It's like with kids with computers. I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't even know what a computer was. And now all these kids, they get on the computer and they immediately know exactly what they're doing on the computer. It's just, yeah, their future is ahead of them. So that's good stuff. So, well, he's got a good future in front of him. Are you on social media that anybody can follow what you're up to there? Or do you pretty much stick to the Metal Ninja
Studio stuff? The best way to follow me on social media is through Metal Ninja Studios. Admittedly, I am horrible with social media for multiple reasons. And I spent years not using it. As part of the expansion, I actually brought on a social media manager who's now my marketing manager. And he does a lot of the social media work for Metal Ninja Studios, keeps everyone up to date, and pretty much makes sure that the public and everyone who's interested knows what we're doing, instead of me basically disappearing for years and no one knowing what's going on, which is the way that it was before. I would basically come out of my cave after years and say, here's another comic. So, yeah, we are now available on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and I think a couple of the new things, but I don't know anything about that. Blake does. But he did set up a link tree that has all of that information on it. And the best way to get to that is metalninjastudios.com/links.
Okay, very good, very good. I'm reminded of David Peterson, who does Mouse Guard, and he would say that every once in a while he'd do an interview, like with me or with other people, just so people knew he hadn't died, was the way he put it.
Yeah,
they wouldn't hear anything from him, because he did everything. I mean, he wrote, he drew, he colored, he lettered, the whole business, and of course that took a lot of time. And he just never could. He was always afraid people would think he'd stopped existing in the process. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, pretty much.
But well, that's great that you guys do stuff. I'm sure you got other things and other irons in the fire that'll be coming on down the pike. And I guess when the time is right, we'll have to talk again. And when things get announced and other good stories are starting to come out and available to the public. But, you know, Joel and you guys at Metal Ninja Studios, you know, much success. And I hope that I'm sure that Nightfall will be a big success and other good things will be coming down the pike soon for you.
Thanks, Wayne. I appreciate that. And yeah, we'll definitely be in touch. So it won't be 3+ years before we talk again.
That's okay. I talked with one guy I hadn't talked to in like 8 years. And
wow.
I said, he says, you know, it won't be 8 years before I talk with you again. So I said, well, that's good. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, it definitely won't be 8 years. We'll have to do something at least next year because we've got plenty of stuff coming down the pipeline next year.
All right. Sounds good.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.